This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, a very interesting conversation which happened during the reign of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and it took place between Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, Abu Muhammad, and he's one of the 10 companions giving glad tidings of Jannah, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the one who narrated the entire conversation is Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. And Imam al-Bayhaqi compiled the author, and Sheikh al-Albani authenticated it. He said it's Hassan. What happened that Umar saw Talha looking a little bit unhappy, distressed. فقال ما بك يا أبا محمد. What is wrong with you, يا أبا محمد. And he teased him about something. I rather not mention it for now. So Talha said, no, that is not what is upsetting me. But I'm distressed because one day I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم say something. I didn't understand what he meant by it, and I didn't ask. And we know, brothers and sisters in Islam, that at one stage the companions who are residents of Medina were actually banned from asking questions, period. Anas radiallahu anhu, in more than one narration, he would say that we would admire a Bedouin who would come out of the desert to ask a question, to ask a decent question. Because normally the Bedouins would come and ask these superficial questions like, when is the hour, and all of that. And subhanAllah, if you read Hadith Jibreel quite well, towards the end of it, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a human shape, towards the end of the hadith, the Prophet asked Umar, do you know who is this? This is Jibreel. He came because you adhere to the command not to ask questions. So he came to ask these heavy load questions. What is al-Islam? What is al-Iman? What is al-Ihsan? This was a reward for you. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you not to ask me questions, you submitted, you adhered. You obeyed the command. So Allah wanted to reward you. The Shahid will go back to Talha. He didn't ask because of that reason. So Umar said to him, what did you hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and you didn't understand and you didn't ask? He said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاللَّهِ, by Allah, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً لَا يَقُولُهَا عَبْدٌ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا أَشْرَقَ لَهَا لَوْنُهُ وَنَفَّثَ اللَّهُ كُرْبَتَهُ وَوَجَدَتْ رُوحُهُ لَهَا رَوْحًا حِينَ تَخْرُجُ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ وَكَانَتْ نُورًا لَهُ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. I know of a kalima. And in Arabic, by the way, the word kalima, anything that is meaningful, that can be actually a whole lecture, you say kalima. So anything that is has a meaning, it can be one word, it can be a sentence, it can be a paragraph, set of paragraphs, anything. Like Abu Musa said, قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ and Imam Muslim, فِيْنَا بِخَمْسِ كَلِمَةٍ إن الله لا ينام. That's one kalima. فكلمة, anything that is meaningful. So the Prophet is saying that there is a kalima, if you utter when you're departing this world, you will receive four things. Number one, your face will illuminate, brightened. Two, the distress of death will be relieved. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the time of death is one of the heaviest times on a human being. They tell you the most testy times on a human, the three transitionals. When you come into this world, because of shaitan, steps, hits you. Hadith Abi Huraira in the Muslim. When you die, and when you are raised up again on the day of judgment. Three. وذاك ابن الخالق عيسى ويحيى دعوة بهذا الدعاء والسلام علي. Look at this. I want you to pour your peace upon me, O Allah, يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حي. I need your help those three times. الشاهد, that saying that kalima will take care of that distress. Also, the soul will experience peace, solace, tranquility as it's being extracted out of the body. And that kalima will shine out of your deeds on the Day of Judgment. Will stand out like this. Will have a shiny, كانت له نورا في صحيفته يوم القيامة. فأمر looked at him, and I'm sure all of you can assume that. But this is the attitude of the Sahaba. You know, if the Prophet didn't say it, I can't say it. So Umar radiallahu anhu looked at him and he said, Wallahi, by Allah, inni la'a'lamu ayya kalimatin aradaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, I know which kalima the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. Tell me, look at Umar. Wa ayyu kalima أعظم من الكلمة التي أراد عمه أن ينطق بها عند موته. What kalima greater than the kalima that he begged his uncle to utter at the bed of death? Now we know which kalima. لا إله إلا الله. هكذا يقول. لا إله إلا الله. Dying on this kalima is the ultimate success. Because brothers and sisters in Islam, this kalima will do one of three things for us on the Day of Judgment. Top of the line, admittance, entering Jannah without reckoning, without punishment. And I have evidence to validate all of that. It's just sake of time. Hadith, the 70,000 who will enter Jannah without the Sahihayn. Two, enter Jannah without punishment, but with questioning. That you're going to be questioned. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? But there is no punishment. Three, and this is, we ask Allah to save us all ya Rab from hadihi, enter Jannah actually after punishment and after reckoning. but at least the one who dies on this kalima will come out. تُخْرِجُهُ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنَ النَّارِ تُنْجِيهُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ يَا وَاصِلَةَ تُنْجِيهُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ will save them from hell. The shahid, brothers and sisters in Islam, is this kalima is the key. And I counted, I think if I'm not mistaken, 87 يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in the Mus'haf. 87 or 89, one of the two, I could be off to you. The most important of them all, the scholars, they say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dare you die, but as Muslims, upon this kalima. This is the most important of them all. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi sunnatihi, he said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When you happen to attend someone who's going through the agonies of death, prompt them, ask them gently to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَقَوْلُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever whose last words from the dunya is La ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. I go back to Abu Talib. Why Abu Talib did not say it? Why? Because it is not just a kalima. This kalima, brothers and sisters in Islam, has to completely absorb you, or you absorbed into it, that you have to live it. First of all, you have to know it, seeking knowledge that doesn't just take you to become intellectual and talking about abstracts of tawheed and theology and, you know, and all that stuff, ilm al-kalam, mu'tazilis, abroad, jahmi, abroad, that takes you to yaqeen, certainty. And after that certainty, you actually say it. La ilaha illallah. Shahadu an la ilaha. That's why when someone accepts Islam, we bring him. You say it, and then you comply. Salli, salli. Zakki, zakki. Stay away from haram, stay away from the haram. And you do this with love. You love it. With truthfulness, with sincerity. They call those seven conditions, seven keys. So you have to live those. You see, Abu Talib could have lived some, but he was heavily engaged in the societal norms, in the culture of his time. The parents. Abu Talib, by the way, brothers and sisters in Islam, he has a line that is very famous out there. He said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ هُوَ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. I know the religion of Muhammad is the best religion. But I'm afraid they're going to say, I left Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib, the way of Abdul Muttalib. So he didn't live. So if you wish to say this kalima and you find it handy on the bed of death, it has to be your life, brothers and sisters in Islam. Ibn Kathir, he had a very profound statement which sums up what I'm trying to say. He said, من عاش على شيء مات عليه. If you live for this kalima, when حي على الصلاة is made, حي على الفلاح is made, you go to pray. When you stay away from the haram, that's living the kalima. If you lived for it, you will die on it, brothers and sisters in Islam. But what I wanted to touch on here is this command in Surah Al-Imran, not to die but on that kalima, is immediately followed by another command, which is what? Wa'tasimu. Come together. There is certainly a relevance between the two verses. The famous verse, hold you to the robe of Allah. That's actually the verse that comes right after. So there is a relevance between unity and the kalima. Now we live in a world where people have the courage and the guts to tell you, don't talk about this kalima because it divides us. We live in a time. We hear it as speakers. This is going to divide us. Asma, sifat. Just talk about the things that what? Unite us. I'm sorry, I tell you. No. You see, hold fast to the robe of Allah came right. Be united, do not be divided. The command right here came right after dying on this kalim. The essence of the kalim. And I'll give you another profound evidence from the Quran and the interpretation of someone whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for to interpret the Quran properly. I'm referring to Abdullah ibn Abbas, قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم علمه التأويل. Verse number 213 سورة البقرة 213, go home 213 and look at it. كان الناس أمة واحدة. Mankind, all of humanity, used to be one single family. Meaning what? United, together. What did Abdullah ibn Abbas say? كلهم على التوحيد. All of them are on Abul Tawheed. So what united them? Was Tawheed. It wasn't anything else but Tawheed. Then what happened? They went astray. Ibn Abbas also mentioned Athar between, because that verse applies there, because that period between Adam and Nuh, they all were Abun Tawheed. بين آدم ونوح عشر قرون, 10 generations. I like to go generations, not centuries, because they used to live way longer than Nuh himself. His da'wah 950 years. So, 10 generations, all of them are Abun Tawheed. Do you want to know what is the first type of shirk that emerged on the face of this earth? Subhanallah, a type that we witness with our own eyes these days, and we find people justifying it. The grave worship. Five righteous people. Waddan, Suwa'an, Yahud, Ya'uq wa Nasr. That's their names. They were mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Nuh. Righteous people. They passed away. They died. People missed them. Listen. People lied the righteous people. People, they loved them. They missed them. They tell you that they are kings without crowns. Because they are being... They are dominants of the hearts. You see, maybe the king can dominate the bodies of his citizens, but not the hearts. But you see, those people, they dominate the hearts because of the love. Even kafir, by the way, even kuffar, they love righteous. Abu Bakr Siddiq, at one stage, he left Mecca. He said, I'm leaving this town. I'm not saying. A kafir, a man, he met him in Jeddah, about to get on a boat to go to Abyssinia or go to Yemen. I said, where are you going? Man, I'm leaving your town, man. You guys are mean to us. Ya Aba Bakr, mithluka la yakhruj wa la yukhraj. Someone with your caliber, with your character, with your noble character should not leave, nor he should be expelled. Come, and I will grant you that law of asylum, which is Juwar, they call it at the time. You will be under my protection. But they died, they missed him. Shaitan seizes the opportunity. Ya ikhwa, Islam recognizes that you may end up loving another person But this love has to be subjected to the legislations of Islam. Not because you love someone, you go and do crazy things for them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, can you imagine that? He would be approaching a gathering and the companions are sitting down. Anas is the one who said that. He said, we love him so much so that we'll stand up. And imagine Rasulullah comes to the Rasulullah. I mean, some student of knowledge now, they walk into the masjid, everybody stands up for them. Rasulullah is walking into the masjid. Imagine Rasulullah is walking into the masjid. We love them. But we know he doesn't. We're not. We shake his hand while we're sitting down. That's huwa. Listen, the people who go and come up with that Mawlid saga every year, what is their justification? Love. Well, yeah. Love, but it has to be what? Ittiba'. So, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you love Allah, follow me. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تطروني. Don't exaggerate in praising me like the Christians did. Otherwise, you will fall into the traps of shirk like they did. Like brothers and sisters in Islam, you're loving Rasulullah, or you're loving any righteous person who claims to be righteous, because at the end of the day, Allah knows best who's righteous and who's not. You still have to subject this to the people of Nuh. Did not do that. They ended up loving those people. Shaitan came and utilized this. And very interesting, brothers and sisters in Islam, when you find someone who gives you the ground to do that. And I come from the US, and we had a brother there in the US who by all of a sudden came up with the idea that actually invoking someone who is dead, the grave, it is all evil. I can count the things that he said. Stepping stone, it's awful. It's terrible. But it's not shirk. It's not shirk. That means I could do that and I have a chance to be forgiven. What do you mean it's not shirk? Any sin in Islam can be pardoned. You see someone drinking, committing adultery in the street, you can't rule that he's going to hell. We say, waqa'a tahta al-mashi'ah, he's under the will of Allah. Insha'a, if Allah wills, Allah will punish him. If Allah wills, he will pardon. But shirk, no. Inna Allah la yaghfir an yushraka bih. So now you're telling me that you could do that. Now that's the most dangerous consequence of such a call, that you're legitimizing, you're bringing something from an act that takes a person out of the fold of Islam to an act that fasid, kafir, and so forth. Brothers and sisters in Islam, although I take over my time, these calls for unity have to be on the foundation of this kalima. Otherwise, you're calling to something that is not real. Listen, if you're talking about me working with other people, I can work with a non-Muslim. I can work with a kafir, with a mushrik, to feed the people who are hungry, to combat this agenda, which is damaging the world, the LGBTWXYZ agenda thing. I can work with anybody. I can work with a Christian. After disclaiming his beliefs are not compatible with my beliefs, but we're working on that common cause together. I can do that. I can do that with a Muslim too. But if you're talking about the unity, brothers and sisters in Islam, upon which you will serve the religion of Allah, you will impact this world, you will spread Tawheed, brothers and sisters in Islam, it has to be on the foundation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. They tell you, if you want to go to the president, I guess we'll then do the prime minister here. Do you go straight to them? Don't you have to go through the MP? MP, right? Huh? Who's better now, the prime minister or... And they use these crazy analogies to justify that you have to go through to Allah through what? Intermediary. La, ya Habib. You can't compare this to this. You see, the MP has two ears, he can only hear one or two at a time. But Allah can hear us at all times, wherever you are. Hadith Abi Dharr, Hadith Lillahi, and Imam Muslim. If the first of you, the last of you, would stand in one place, even place, and each one of you would make a request. You want a Tesla, I want a Beamer, you want a Mercedes. Everybody has his own one. I want a Hive. Huh? Allah will hear us at the same time and give each one of us what we ask for at the same time. But how can you compare this with that? Brothers and sisters in Islam, in closing, and I promise I'll take 5 minutes. I don't know, I'm supposed to finish by two, but inshallah, 5 minutes exactly. We believe in wasila. Yeah, there is wasila in Islam. If you deny it, actually you're in trouble. And there is a key verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah that says, "What? Ya ayyuha al-ladina amanu taqullaha wabtahu ilayhi al-wasila." Seek the wasila to him. But who defined the wasila? Who defines the wasila? And who identifies it? Allah and His Messenger. You have four ways to go to Allah. Number one, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَ فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Call upon Allah using these names. So instead of using the names of Allah to praise Him with it, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Malik, Ya Quddus, Ya Salam, Ya Muhaiman, Is that fair? Is that fair? Allah wants you to do that with Him. You go to the grave, cry to someone who is dead, who needs help. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That's one wasil. Two, your iman, your belief, your adherence, your love Rasulullah. Don't use that Messenger himself as a human. Use your adherence to him, your obedience to him. اللهم بإيماني بنبيك بطاعتي له باتباع سنته. Give me this. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا. Isn't that tawassul? And you have three individuals who, I'm sure Imam Abu Ibrahim shared it with you, who got stranded in the cave. How did they come out of the cave? Tawassul bi'amalihim. Three, a supplication of a living person that you think that he's righteous. You think he's righteous. Because at the end of the day, really, Allah knows best who's righteous and who's not here. What are the credentials, if we use modern day language, of Umar ibn Khattab? Imagine Umar someone who's giving glad tidings again. If there is a prophet after me, it would be Umar. If Umar walks this way, Shaitan will walk the other way. Ya Umar, I want you to go to Mecca every year and look for a man, his name is Uwais al-Qarni. Who's Uwais al-Qarni? He's not my companion. Ask him to make dua for you. Umar asking Uwais to make dua for him? Yeah, that's how it is. Allah knows best things. When you ask someone who you think is righteous, that's all. And you ask him something that he can deliver. And you ask him, and you know, say that I'm calling upon him, he's in Africa, and I'm calling upon him. He don't do that. Unless if you have a virtual kind of connection with him or something, like a phone. Finally, brothers and sisters in Islam, use your own condition. التوسل لله بفقرك بمرضك بحاجتك كما فعل موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام في مدين فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير أو كما فعل أيوب وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر يا رب أمسك يا رب هكذا. What's wrong with these? Brothers and sisters in Islam, I love you all for the sake of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who call to Tawheed Ya Rabbal Alameen. Because upon calling to Tawheed, you're calling to unity. When you call to Tawheed, you're calling to unity. Don't listen to these calls that don't talk about Tawheed because it will disunite us. La, it's the other way around. That is the message I wanted to convey today to my brothers and sisters in Islam. Allahumma ighfir lana dunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa arzuqna atiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan wa arzuqna ajtinaab. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batana ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma ij'alna hudatan mahdiyin. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdi bina wa ij'alna sababan liman ihtada ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma ij'alna du'atan lit-tawheed. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة للتوحيد يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.